This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Quick! Everyone! Flee for your lives!
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
The biggest.
Tell them, Robin.
Holy superlatives, Batman! It's really exciting. Soon, very soon, Batman and I will be batapulting right out of your TV sets and onto your theater screens.
That's right, Robin. Our first full-length motion picture feature in color opens a whole new world of thrills. The big screen gives us more space on land, sea, and in the air to challenge the most bataclysmic collection of super criminals ever. Their minimum objective must be the entire world.
And here are the dastardly villains. The Catwoman.
Oh, you're going to see the perfect crime when I get Batman in my claws.
The Joker.
Have you heard this one? It'll kill you, Batman.
The Penguin.
There are two eggs this wily bird is going to scramble, Batman and Robin.
The Riddler.
Question, who's going to make the feathers fly and knock Batman and Robin out of the sky?
See the new weapons in the Bat Arsenal combat the forces of evil. The Batcopter. The exploding, man-eating shark.
Holy sardine!
The relentless Megaton Magnet. The unholy quartet secret submarine. And that's just a sample of the exciting exploits ahead in our first feature motion picture.
Holy memoranda, folks. Make a note not to miss it.
Good thinking, Robin.
We are screwed. And my name is Lauren Lapkus.
I'm Nicole. I'm Nicole Byer. I said, You said, I'm Lauren Lapkus. And I went,
Yeah, you are. And we are covering Batman movies this season. We are back. We've missed you all so, so much.
Yes. We've missed this level of homework.
Yes, it really is homework.
Look at it. Next week, I got a little scared.
Oh, what's next
just
week?
Just a bunch.
Oh, yeah. No.
But it's good. It's good.
Okay.
Oh, man, we're really doing it. Okay, this is the first episode of the sixth season. We are working our way through movies within the Batman universe, okay, with the help of fellow newcomers or super fans, or sometimes even people who've contributed.
And guess what? It's going to be 14 episodes.
That's a lot.
It's so many. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be culminating in a very exciting live stream episode.
Wow.
We're going to cover as much as we can and get an overview of the franchise, but we're not going to be able to get to everything.
There's a lot.
There's too much.
But today we're going to be discussing one of the earliest Batman movies, the 1966 Batman starring Adam West.
It is an hour and 44 minutes.
Well, that's not even mentioned in our notes here.
It's not. But I was so, I was like, 1966? Yeah. An hour and we're out. Yeah. Maybe an hour 15. An hour and 44 minutes of boom, boom, pow.
I was actually pretty surprised by how much they were able to squeeze out of it. Oh, but we'll get into that for sure.
Okay, so if you want to watch it, this Batman's available with a subscription to Max, Hulu, Prime Video. And you can watch it for a fee on Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu.
And obviously, we're going to spoil the film from 1966. So if you want to not have it be spoiled, watch that now. But we are so excited for our guest today. Now, you know him from his work on Mr. Show, as the voice of Mr. Peanut Butter on BoJack Horseman, from his many appearances on Comedy Bang Bang, and of course, from his podcast with me, Threedom. It's Paul F. Tompkins.
Oh my God. I did it.
You're here. We're so happy you're here.
I'm thrilled to be here.
You're the best first guest that could ever be.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
And we just can't wait to talk about Batman with you because I think our opinions are going to be all over the map.
I would like to say, first of all, if you had a hard time with an hour and 44 minute Batman movie, you're in for a rough season because they don't get any shorter.
Which is rather upsetting and kind of jarring.
It's like how much we don't know anything. I mean, maybe I've seen a Batman. I've seen over the course of my life.
I've seen one. Is the Robert Pattinson one? I loved it, and I said that one should be longer.
Negative.
You got COVID?
Oh, good. Oh, so you found out mid recording that you're negative. I'm glad we did that. So good to test everyone.
I love it. I love it. Keeping us safe.
Yeah, I think I've seen one or two, but when I was a kid. Like, I don't really remember. I listened to the Batman.
Of the TV show?
No, the entire franchise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I listened to the Batman Forever soundtrack a lot. Oh. So that one I'm really familiar with
What's the biggest banger on
Kiss
there?
Kiss by Rose.
Oh, of course. Ooh. Yes.
Yeah.
Baby!
Fuck a dick and do it to me, baby! Down and do ooh! We all know the words.
Yes. Paul, it's Kiss by Rose on The Gray. Isn't
and
that
what
weird?
Is that
it?
Mean?
I thought it was Grave.
I know. Did too. And even that, I wonder, what do you mean?
Yeah, well, that's Kiss the Rose on someone's you went visiting.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. But then what's The Gray?
And then the rose kisses you. Mm. And then you're like, get off me.
Yeah.
And it's back on the grave you go.
Mm. Yeah.
You haven't seen the video?
I have not. That's ringing a bell.
There's a lot of images of Batman in the video.
Wait.
A lot of bat signals.
Paul, speaking of a bat signal, what's your relationship to DC and or Batman?
Well, I'll tell you, Nicole. I go in and out of comic books and have since I was a kid. I remember watching the Batman TV show with Adam West in reruns and loving it when I was little. And then, you know, like I would not say I'm a huge fan of Batman. I've enjoyed Batman related things.
Sure.
I think it's gotten a little much, if you ask me.
Uh-huh.
But I've always known, I know the lore. The lore has remained pretty much the same for a million years.
What is the lore?
Bruce Wayne, young Bruce Wayne, sees his parents get murdered.
Yes. I knew that.
Oh, yes.
Right in front of him.
Yes.
And it causes him later to embark on a life of crime fighting.
Yes. Okay. But how?
And he's super rich.
Yes.
Yes.
And he funds the batting with the money from his company.
His whole bat, his bat wings.
Yeah.
Like his whole his vibe. Whole,
yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I think so.
He,
okay. And his whole, like his cave and stuff.
He uses his billionaire money to fund the Batman activities. He never touches his Batman money.
Okay, so he's just like Jay Leno.
Exactly.
So,
whatever money he makes from being Batman,
Jay Leno.
He doesn't touch that.
I wish Jay Leno would wear a denim eye mask to cut like,
honestly, that would be very funny.
Yes.
Oh my god, just driving around in
denim
old cape. Car.
Denim boots.
He's denim man.
That'd be awesome.
Jay I'd denim. Like it. But okay, where does Robin come from? Because they don't explain that in the movie.
Robin comes from I want to say Robin was there pretty early on. I don't know if he was there in the 30s, maybe in the 40s.
That's how they long ago
him.
We're going.
Really,
yeah.
The 30s?
Yeah.
So like Flappers and Batman.
The comics were read by Flappers.
Flappers were the 20s.
Okay, but they might still be around. They're just out of fashion.
Yeah.
We're in the Great Depression. You can't afford to be a flapper anymore.
Okay.
Oh, the 30s is the Great Depression.
So
the
depression
is
reading
Batman.
Who's reading crying. They're sad. They're drinking soup.
They need this.
They needed this more than ever because everything was so bad.
Yes. Yeah. They're like, I want to read about this freak.
Yeah. And that's how it is now.
Yeah.
We need more Batman because everything is so bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, Robin in love with Batman. Yes?
Robin not in love with Batman.
Seems.
Robin, legal ward of Batman because
what?
His
he's a child?
He's a child.
Oh, he seemed older.
Wait, that old man was a child?
That old man was supposed to be a child. They say his young ward. Okay. In the comics, he's a kid.
Young
he's
compared kid. To him, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So this elusive billionaire takes in a kid and makes that kid fight crime with him?
Yes, because his parents were also murdered. In front
oh,
of
oh, Robin's face?
Yes.
That's a lot.
He came from a family of acrobats.
And they were killed in front of him?
His this parents seems were, like a
not,
lie.
You're
his
not
parents,
making this up.
I'm not making this up. His parents were killed during the circus.
What?
I don't remember
don't
who killed them.
Why don't they show that?
Yeah, show us that. Yeah.
Well, but here's the thing. The movie that you watched,
yes.
that we all watched, is a feature-length version of the TV show version of Batman.
Okay. So the TV show already existed. Then they were like, here's a movie based off of everything we explored.
Yes.
Okay.
It was a big hit, the TV show.
Oh, no, I can see that.
I remember that.
No, I'm not like trying to defend it.
No, I'm sure you're right.
I'm just providing information.
I'm sure you're right. Yeah, no. Yeah. Let's quickly talk about our thoughts about the movie before we jump into it and we can just get a sense of where we're all at.
Yeah, okay. I hated it.
Okay.
I hated Robin being like, gee golly, honestly, I don't know. I can't remember the isms.
Holy.
He said.
He only said holy, oh, holy. 8,000 times.
Oh, holy, yeah, that was holy smokes thing. And yeah. holy romance and whole. I hated him.
Holy Polaris, yeah. Batman.
I didn't like his anything. Full brief bottom. I just
you thought he should have worn a cheeky brief.
Yeah, if you're gonna show me something. I don't like it.
Get a little booty.
I didn't like Batman. I didn't like his mask had eyebrows. That was upsetting.
Yeah.
The bad guys were also upsetting. They kept going, and I really hated that.
Laughing.
I didn't like that. I liked Catwoman-ish.
Yeah.
Overall, pretty bad. Also, I was like, who wrote this script? At the end, they were like, success, success, we did it. And I was like, what?
See, I'm going to be weird. I sort of liked it, but not really, but enough that I was intrigued.
Wow.
I was like, oh, it's kitschy. It's like very campy. It felt like Brady Bunch and they all put on costumes and got silly. Like I watched a lot of old TV when I was a kid, so I felt like it made me feel like that. Like, it's like a summer day and I'm putting on this rerun of Batman. Mm-hmm. You know, like there was something sort of like comforting in a way about it to me. But I agree. I was surprised by how long it was because it felt like they kind of got through the story pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I was like, you don't need it to go on this long. But I also thought it was really cute to see how all the characters kind of started and they're sort of basic, like the costumes are so simple that it was almost like a crude drawing of what we know now, and that was kind of fun to me
because they're trying to in this era they're trying to bring the comic book to life, and this is the comic book was not as moody and grim in this era as it became. It was very. It was a comic book. It was
It was so silly.
The Joker was ridiculous.
There are a lot of jokes.
Yeah,
and but sometimes I was like, was that a joke or am I reading?
The jokes were tough.
I didn't know if they were jokes always.
Yeah,
or if it was just how I'm taking it now, or if that was supposed to be a joke, or if it seems because like there was some sort of
was the shark a joke?
Like right, because it's so janky though.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
And then all of the repellents, that was a joke.
Absolutely. Yes.
And people in the theaters probably laughed.
Probably.
Okay.
They probably did.
Right, because there were that it was like kind of funny how everything was labeled bat, whatever.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So I was like, that does seem funny, but I didn't know
but
if it was.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did like all the modes of transportation.
Yeah.
Like the penguin submarine thing. That made me laugh real hard.
I liked it. And I liked how weird all the characters were. And I was sort of just like grossed out by them because they were almost too real. Like seeing like the makeup, like it was just sort of like so raw. And like, I felt like these are a bunch of insane people who are gathering around. Like they're crazy. And they don't even, like the Catwoman's like, and she's like, hey. Like she's barely doing anything. But I'm like, you're just a lady. I don't know.
Can I say this about Catwoman? And this is something, because I don't think I'd ever seen this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think I had just seen the TV show. Lee Merriweather, who plays the Catwoman in this, is probably the least effective Catwoman.
Oh.
The most being Eartha Kitt, who was in the series. And
she was in the show, and then this woman was in the movie.
Yes, and
why
then
was
another
that?
One that was in the show was Julie Newmar. Who was second best to
Wong Fu, thanks for everything, yes, Julie Newmar.
Precisely.
All I know.
The That's Julie Newmar of Julie Wong Newmar. Fu, thanks for everything, Julie. And this is the the only instance of Catwoman making noises like she's in heat.
Yeah,
that does not happen. Surprisingly, she does not happen in any of the other Catwoman iterations.
She was riding something through the sky, going.
I was scandalized.
It was pretty wild.
She does it again later. I was like, wow, that was not a fluke.
Yeah, yeah.
She also wasn't sexy.
No,
because
but she's beautiful.
Like
yes,
sexy.
But she was not sexy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she was very pretty.
Sexual.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which we do want from that character. You want her to be like, oh.
I don't think I've ever seen Eartha Kitt as Catwoman.
Yeah, I don't think
I've heard it.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because I was like, something's wrong.
Yeah, I know. It seemed a little chaste.
I will say, when she's revealed at the end and Batman's like,
I know.
I laughed real hard. But I didn't know if that was a joke.
Those things I was curious about if they were jokes. Like, how they're like, no one knows who we are. Even our own families don't recognize us. And they have like a tiny piece of cloth over one part of their face. Like that's
everything is a joke.
Okay.
None of this is supposed to be taken seriously.
Okay.
This is like such a time capsule of that era of like, this was sophisticated comedy for adults. You know what I mean?
I actually
it's
really
barely
like
a kid's show, if you can believe that. It is for drunk 60s people.
That makes so much sense.
Bad shark repellent.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Maybe I should have watched it with a different eye.
Because it's old, I totally get the impulse to assume that they're being serious.
Yeah.
Like they think this is cool. Yeah. And I think it's all tongue in cheek. It's all like, everything's over the top on purpose.
I felt like it was fun to see when they're like punching and it's like blam, plow, splat. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's really a thing. Like, I didn't know that they actually put that in like on screen ever. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just a comic book thing. Same. So I thought that was cute and funny. A lot of things like that where I was like, oh, this is where that originated or whatever.
A little trivia. I think this is correct, but I believe that the blam pals on the screen, the first time that was done was in A Hard Day's Night with the Beatles.
Oh.
Which was around the same time.
I've never seen that.
I could be wrong.
I don't know what that is.
But I could be
the
right.
The Beatles made a movie. That's all I know.
They did.
Yeah.
They made, oh no, sorry, not Hard Day's Night, Help. They made Hard Day's Night, which was their first movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was in black and white. And then Help, which is in color, which is more of like a sort of like funny adventure kind of thing that they go on. And there's some fight scene where they have the comic book sound effects on the screen.
And are they good actors?
Yeah, are they?
Yeah, they are.
Wow.
Interesting. I don't know much about the Beatles, which I know is wild. But
newcomers,
there's like
Beatles.
I mean, we really could, because there was at one point I heard a Beatles song and Tina Turner had covered it. And I heard the Tina Turner version first. And I was like, why would they steal that from her? And they were like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's a cover. It's not stealing one.
Beatles
and it's a cover. And it was done by the Beatles.
What song was it? Do you remember?
Octopus.
I think it's Come Together. No.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe she could. I don't remember.
Now.
Yeah.
That's my beautiful.
That sounds familiar.
When I did it?
I think it might be Come Together.
Yeah.
When you.
It's not.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's not familiar. Because
you just. Wait, Paul, did you like this movie?
Yeah, we
haven't
gotten your opinion yet.
I really had fun, and I laughed out loud a couple times. I was surprised.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you have a drink with it?
No, I watched it this morning.
I was actually like, was sort of like, I should be stoned watching this. And then I was like, nope, I have to pay attention. And everyone
That's
be mad if I'm stoned.
I thought.
Yeah.
I was like, let me smoke something and watch this. Yeah. But then I was like, Nicole, you got to stay awake. But then I fell asleep anyway.
I did. So the last 4 minutes, I was dozing. And then I kept going, huh? And then it was still 4 minutes. I go, what? And then I kept being like, they're not getting through this. Like the last year, because I even like looked, I was like, I thought maybe, you know how in the movies now, like if it's like, it's actually 10 minutes shorter because of the credits. That's not the case here.
No.
They went up to the last minute.
Yeah.
They're like, and we still have one more thing. And like the thing was closing. Like, one more,
The credits of this movie were like, you get it.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of people.
People did it.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it was like the end of the living story. What did it say?
The living end.
Okay,
I did like
how the beginning said, like, I don't know what the living end means. But that's like
I never know what that's
it's
just
a phrase,
an old expression. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're the living end. And
so
I don't know if
it's a joke.
Yeah. Yeah,
but the beginning, I really liked when it was like, this is a movie for people who like fun things, and it's just for people who like fun, and like all those different like Like, it's this is so just a good time. If you like good times, you'll like this.
It's like, I felt like it was, like, insulting me. Because I was like, I do like good, fun things, but I don't think I'm going to like this.
Yeah.
And I think you're trying to say something about me.
But there wasn't that much content at this point in time. There just wasn't.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone who was alive in 1966 could have seen everything ever that was made.
They're also all dead. Isn't that weird to think about?
It is.
Anyone who was alive in 1966 is now dead.
It's so weird.
All of them.
There's just no way they could live
it's sad.
Now.
Yeah. It's sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing the mood down.
With your math.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll jump into what this movie was all about.
Do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30 and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
We're back. Okay, Batman was released on July 30th, 1966.
Hold on a second. Nope. I have to ask. Nicole, could you please give us your rendition of the na 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 theme song?
Yeah, let's hear that.
Na 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 Batman.
That's closer than it sounded before.
Okay, I actually see where
I thought you were doing like a masterpiece.
No, I see where you're going.
Na na na.
Na na na, Batman.
Na na na.
They didn't say Batman.
That was actually pretty good. I got
thank
you. Because you were going with the long version.
I don't know. I don't know how long it is. Oh, I guess it is shorter. Na 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 na.
Well, no, it's still wrong. Oop. But yeah.
It's sort of like a royalty-free version of
you're
the
like,
song.
Na, na,
it
na, na,
sounds
na,
enough
na,
like.
Na.
What is it?
Are you having
here,
it?
Here, you do it. You do it.
You do it.
Na 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 Batman.
Na 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 na.
That's
good. I don't know why I can't do this. My body's like no.
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 I honestly can't wait for that to just devolve over our next episodes.
Ooh, this was written by Lorenzo Semple Jr.
and directed by Leslie H. Martinson.
Where's Lorenzo now?
Dead.
You gotta wonder. I was okay. Maybe this is just how my brain works, but I was watching the movie, going, "Is everyone dead?"
Is Adam West is dead?
Adam
I was
West
like,
is dead.
Everyone's being so funny, and they went, and now they're dead. Like, I think it's just like
Burt Ward, who played Robin, I believe, is still alive.
Oh, good. Okay.
Lee Merriweather, for all I know, is still alive.
Oh, good.
Burgess Meredith, of course, dead. Frank Gorshin, dead. Cesar Romero, dead.
Dang.
It's just tough, you know how life
Alfred
works.
The Butler, yeah, like, I think it's safe to say.
We're all having fun.
Is still
yeah.
alive?
Yeah. He's one of the 50 years
oldest
old.
Oldest one in the movie at the time. Oh,
Burt
Ward.
Well,
there's so much I want to talk to you about this because I know like a little bit of trivia about this show and about, and I don't know what level of things you guys know or if you're going to cover it later.
I think we're going to have trivia. Yeah, okay. We'll see what you know that we don't know.
Okay.
We don't know any of it, but we're
I don't
tell
know anything.
You so.
I just know I really like Robert Pattinson's Batman.
Well, you got many, many, many episodes till we get to that.
That movie was 3.5 hours
and
long.
And it could have been longer. I was so happy to be there.
I have no idea what that one is.
There was parts I didn't get, but I had a nice time.
I'm excited. Hopefully I'll like that one. Okay, so here's the plot of this movie. Mm-hmm. When Batman, played by Adam West... and Robin, Burt Ward, get a tip that Commodore Schmidlap, owner of the Big Ben Distillery, is in danger aboard his yacht. They take the Batmobile to the Batcopter to launch a rescue mission. As Batman descends on the Bat Ladder to land on the yacht, it suddenly disappears beneath him. Correct. Now, here's something I really liked about this. Mm-hmm. This movie, they explained everything very clearly.
Yes.
I didn't understand why he couldn't get on the boat until they're like, it's a hologram. I was like, okay. Like, I just was like, they literally would turn to each other and go, here's what's happening.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I went, thank you.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think I'm stupid, yet I'm somehow missing some of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was a nice, because there's so many movies that expect you to like just follow and understand things. Mm-hmm. Not this one. This one tells you what's up.
The pacing is so bizarre to our taste today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That everything is so deliberate. It's like, so something happens, Batman sees, oh, this boat's a hologram.
Yeah.
Hey, I can't get on there. It's a hologram.
Yeah.
And we get to Robin, like, he's listening to it. Okay. Yeah. And then he does something. Like, everything happens in real time.
Yes.
So there's no question of, did Robin hear and understand what he said?
Yeah. Yeah, he's literally processing information. And then goes, got it.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so he rises out of the sea on the ladder with a shark attacking his leg. Now, yes, the shark was...
tied to the ladder.
It was clearly the fakest thing anyone's ever
seen. It was so
seen,
wild.
But then that was funny.
And I've still seen worse. Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
I've still seen worse than that.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be real, was it? Because it's supposed to be like they loaded it with a... Like, I didn't think it was supposed to be a real shark.
Yes, it was, for sure.
Okay, that's a problem. I thought it was supposed to be Penguin, like, set that up, and it was, like, a fake
Penguin
shark.
Penguin set it up, but it was a real shark.
Okay, then that was really bad, right?
But, I mean, yes, exactly. And you're not supposed to think, as an audience member, you're not supposed to think it's a real shark. You're supposed to think they're saying it's a real shark.
Batman is being attacked by a real shark. So what they're doing is they're going, it's funny that it looks like that. A little bit. They're like, it's not.
Look, we're not trying to fool you.
Yeah. Well, we know we can't. It's only 1966.
A pillow.
Yeah. So he rises out of the sea with a shark attacking his leg. Batman manages to escape the shark's jaws by calling up to Robin for some bat shark repellent.
Dang,
and the
we're
shark
going
explodes.
Blow by blow.
Sweetie Pie, you're going to hear every word of the movie. Some people haven't seen the movie, so we need to tell them what happened.
We need to tell them.
So this is the first 8 minutes. So Batman and Robin head back to Commissioner Gordon, Neil Hamilton's office, where a press conference is being held discussing what has happened. They meet a Soviet journalist named Kitayana Irina Tatiana Karanskova.
I was impressed when she got through that.
Mm. She was amazing. I actually thought her accent was so great. So acronymed as Kitka, played by Lee Merriweather, who is actually Catwoman in disguise, who tries to get Batman to take off his mask for a picture. Commissioner Gordon interjects, saying that they wouldn't be able to do their ace crime fighting if they weren't in costume. Afterwards, Batman, Robin, Commissioner Gordon, and Chief O'Hara figure out that the tip could have been set up by one of the four most powerful villains in Gotham City, the Joker, played by Cesar Romero, the Penguin, Burgess Meredith, the Riddler, Frank Gorshin, and Catwoman. That was funny when they're figuring out, they're like putting the riddle together, and it's so crazy how they got to those.
It's impossible. Yes.
Yeah.
That was, okay, maybe I did think that was funny.
Right?
I guess I also thought it was funny when she was like, come on, take off your mask. And he was like, no.
Yeah.
And she was like, but not for a picture? Yeah. He was like, no. And she was like, okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, did you try? It was very, okay, it was funny. The four villains equip themselves with a dehydrator that can turn humans into dust. this, okay.
Those humans turning into dust had no problem with the fact that they were about to be dust.
No.
They were standing there like, they watch other people get made into dust. They're like, like they don't even move.
Well, they also came reassured. Back from dust being like, we didn't know we were dust.
Yeah.
They came back mid-conversation.
Yeah. Even though they weren't talking.
No.
When they were made into
dust. They were talking when they were dust.
They were in those tubes being like, can you believe we're in tubes? Okay, that can turn humans into dust, and an invention of Schmidnap, mm-hmm. who doesn't realize that he has been kidnapped and escaped in a pre-nuclear submarine made to resemble a penguin. I did laugh. They recruit three pirate-like henchmen. Batman and Robin learn that the yacht was actually a holographic projection and take the bat boat to a buoy. Is that a buoy? Is mm-hmm. that how I say that? Mm-hmm. That is concealing the projector, but find themselves trapped on the buoy by a magnet targeted by torpedoes. There was a lot happening.
Yeah.
They use a radio detonator to destroy the two missiles, and a porpoise sacrifices itself to intercept the last one.
And then that was crazy because I was like, how did they know the porpoise? The whole thing was, I didn't see the porpoise.
Mm-hmm.
I rewound it because I was like, did I miss the porpoise? But they just knew, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think they're like, this is what happened.
So back at the docks, Batman discovers that the Penguin, using the alias P.N. Gwyn, acquired the submarine.
Okay, that was also funny.
Yeah.
You love it.
But okay, here's the thing. While it was happening, I was like, what? But then you saying it out loud, I was like, oh yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's cute. It's like, it feels like the origins of a lot of things. And I think that's what's kind of like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, a little bit, you're going like, oh, yeah, I get it. But it's like, but this was brand new at the time.
Yeah.
Like, this kind of joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, that's cool.
Yeah. The idea, it got me almost every time they did it. Something that is so obvious
mm-hmm.
that they're figuring out as if it's, like, a real deduction.
Yeah.
And then no one else saw it.
Gwyn.
It was
Penguin.
Funny to
Penguin.
Me. Yeah.
He acquired the submarine from a Navy surplus admiral who has such vehicles at his disposal. Just then the Riddler shoots off a missile from the submarine, which reveals a set of riddles written in the sky.
At Commissioner Gordon's office, Batman, Robin, and the Commissioner and Chief O'Hara solve the riddles and are able to officially confirm Catwoman's involvement with the Penguin, Joker, and Riddler.
Yeah.
I thought it was the Riddler. Anyway, who are part of an organization known as the United Underworld and are plotting world domination. Maybe I did like this movie. I don't know.
You're going to be
plotting world domination. The heroes then depart for the Batcave.
I mean, when they figured out that it's all of them together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it's like, that almost feels like something you would figure out further into a movie.
Yes.
Like, they figure that out really early.
Very, very early.
And then it's like, they know... That's kind of why it was weird. I think the pacing was weird. Because it was like, they figured out who they're against, like, so fast.
Yeah.
And then they just were dealing with them for, like, the whole time.
This is almost like, because of the TV show, it's almost like a sequel where they're assuming you know all these people.
Oh, right.
You know all these characters. So we're not going to get you up to speed on anything. You already know who they are. They're all working together. Let's get them in as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
You know,
and they look insane when they're all together. They really look crazy. And like, they're always like, they'll have their weird laughs.
I didn't like the laughing.
I didn't like Joker. Why was his makeup over his mustache? Why didn't he shave his mustache?
Why did they do that, Paul?
He would not shave his mustache. Cesar Romero was like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm not going to shave my mustache.
What?
And they're like,
really?
Are you sure you won't do it? He's like, yeah, I don't care.
And he's on the TV show?
Yeah.
And he had a mustache on the TV show?
Under the makeup?
Yeah.
Did you ever see him without the makeup?
No.
So he could shave it. But he wants it in his life.
He wants it in his life. Yes.
Did the villains...
He's like, I'm not shaving my trademark mustache for Batman.
No,
oh, but... he had a trademark mustache.
Yeah, he had always had a mustache.
I don't know him.
But it looks stupid under the makeup.
It did look dumb.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just like... Why did,
but that's also, but that's the show.
And it's also like,
who
that,
cares?
Yeah, it's a little bit like slapdash, whatever. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the TV show, did all of them work together or was this like a movie thing where it was like super villains?
No, in the TV show, there's probably a couple team ups here and there, but usually it was like a villain of the week.
Ah.
And it was an opportunity for guest stars, you know, famous people of the day.
Like who?
Charlie Chaplin?
Charlie
Chaplin.
I mean, he said it was a comedy. Wait, was he even alive then?
No.
No.
Well, he might have been alive.
Charlie Chaplin was alive.
But he was done.
He was not a guest star in Batman. It was more people who were sort of contemporary at that time. Okay. Yeah, we're famous for speaking.
Yeah.
You're right. He was silent.
Like Vincent Price was on it. Oh.
I had a Vincent Price tape that I would watch all the time when I was a kid. Yeah, it was like a tape where he would come out at the beginning and introduce these scary little things. Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know.
Why do I know it?
I just had it. I don't even know. You probably had it.
Maybe I did.
It was just like, he just would be like, I'm Vincent Price. Mm-hmm. And here's the story of the blah, blah, blah. And then it's like some little vignette or something. I don't know.
Like a little ghost story kind
of
thing?
Sort of like Tales of the Crypt vibes. Yes. Right. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So he'd
so
be
you
on
love
it.
Him.
So I love him.
Yeah.
He's a huge figure for my childhood.
He played Egghead on Batman.
What?
And he had a big,
is that
giant,
someone we're
going to
come see again?
Egghead? We're going to come see
I mean, are we going to see Egghead in the movies?
I don't know.
No.
Okay.
You will not be
no, egg no egg.
It's a character nobody wants to see again.
Yes.
Did he fight with eggs?
Oh, he did a lot of egg puns, of course.
Did he do a lot of rotten egg smoke?
I think he did do that. Okay. My memories of Egghead are not very.
I'll be looking that up later.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, the villains devise a plan to kill Batman. They decide to have Catwoman disguised as Miss Kitka lure a millionaire philanthropist back to her apartment, kidnap them both, and use them as bait for Batman to come to the rescue. Now, this was a silly little situation. Now, the millionaire philanthropist they chose is, of course, none other than Bruce Wayne, head of the Wayne Foundation. Now, I was watching this going, she knows that's him. She knows that's Batman. She's tricking him. It's layers. And then they really didn't know that was him.
No, and he was so horny for her.
Oh, yeah.
The way the tension would build between them, I thought, just fuck already.
Yeah. I was like, why don't they just do it? And at one point, he was like breathing all heavy. And I was
they
like,
just
oh,
got
boy.
Really close a lot. And they'd be like,
yeah. It was very wild to me. Anyway, Mesquita visits Bruce Wayne at Wayne Manor, where she shows him riddles that are left at her penthouse, which is owned by the Wayne Foundation, whom the Riddler hates. Batman heads to the Batcave to solve the riddles with Robin, which seemingly reveal a threat on Mesquita's life, who they think will slip on a banana peel and die. But Batman plans to go on a date with Mesquita in that evening, but asks Alfred, Alan Napier, and Robin to keep a close watch from the Batmobile using the micro TV bat scanner just in case Riddler tries to make good on his threat.
Now, I liked that part where they were watching the date.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That, I thought it was that's little... like, that's fun. I always want to watch a friend's
you like
date.
Like Alfred's mask that he wore.
Yeah,
his
that was under his glasses. Under his glasses, that was silly. Yeah. And then they're watching, and like the two are about to hook up, and they're like, I guess we shouldn't watch this, Alfred. And he's like, okay, if you say so.
Alfred's
that's
like,
where you draw the line.
Please let me watch. Yeah. I'm so old.
He's like, if I'm I could just see this, get fuck Bruce.
Wait, and Alfred.
I would love to see this woman fuck my boss.
Alfred's like, is like Batman's keeper.
He's his butler, right?
Yes. In the comics, he essentially takes care of him after he was, you know, family employee. And
yes.
He looks after him after the parents die.
Oh.
But who's the old man? Is it the commissioner who's in their house, in the Batman house before? And like he doesn't know that they're Batman and Robin and they jump into the like.
I think that was the commissioner. Yes.
So he just came over. He didn't. That wasn't his property. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so
he just came over.
But like, it's one thing we haven't mentioned is that they have these little like they're in their mansion, Batman's mansion, and then they like have like a door that reveals their like poles that they jump down to go become Batman and Robin. And then when they get down there, they're in the costumes,
which is kind of funny, I guess.
Yeah.
You love
their outfits are so weird.
They're so weird.
It's so revealing, especially Robin. Like it's like the green underpants. It's a lot. And he did seem like a grown man to me. I didn't get that
he was not a child. He was not his ward.
I think in that he was not his ward.
There's no way he was his ward.
I know a word we've never wards are said. Supposed to be. I think because he clearly is a grown man, I think they leave it very hazy as to how old he's supposed to be. Uh-huh. So maybe late teens you could buy. They're hoping.
Was he on the series?
Oh, yeah.
So just aged a little bit.
Well, this
did he
a
start
little
the
bit.
Series I mean, this as a child?
Same year.
No.
Oh, he was still a grown man
on
the series.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is like, this might have even been concurrent with the series, this movie. I'm not sure.
Oh.
Okay.
It was?
But yeah, it's not like many years later, like, let's reunite and do
this. Yeah, and he's like, no, I'm old, but yeah. I'll pretend I'm little or whatever.
But
yeah.
I can say that having not seen any of this Batman since I was a child, Robin truly sucks. He's bad.
Oh, my God.
Throwing. The performance is annoying.
Yeah.
And he's not helping anything.
No.
He says holy blank as basically his only line the entire time. I was kind of like, say other stuff. That's
that
where I
was. A big thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to know his opinion on his... His full briefs. Like, I just don't understand.
There's so much happening in the junk region on characters in this film.
And he had nude tights and Batman had gray tights.
Yeah.
And I was like, why does Batman get to cover up a little bit more than Rob? Like, why do I have to look at Robin?
Yeah.
That's what the costumes look like in the comics. It was pretty faithful.
Really?
Yeah.
Robin's legs are just out like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's also a little boy. In the thing.
We got to cover up the little boy.
It's
definitely worse.
You know what, he's an acrobat.
Maybe in the comics, he's also wearing nude hose.
I think he has nude hose on. Because you don't want to have an accident where your pee-pee shows.
No, you wouldn't want that while fighting crime.
No. So in a plot to lure the criminals out of hiding, Robin asks Chief O'Hara to flash the bat signal to make it seem like he and Batman are racing to police headquarters and are out of the way, leaving Miss Kitka unsupervised and open to attack. But the plan doesn't seem to work.
In a carriage ride back to Miss Kitka's apartment, she takes out a listening device shaped like a cat figurine with an antenna.
That
I will say
so...
the commitment to the character's name and stuff matching.
All the stuff they had. And even like when they're all looking through the periscope and they each have a little label that matches whose side it is.
Yeah.
And she was pushing this little plastic cat that's like the cheapest toy anyone's ever had. I'm like, it's not connected to anything. Like, that's not doing anything. But I liked it.
Shaped like a cat figurine with an antenna. So the villains know where they're headed. Once Bruce and Mesquita arrive at her place, the two start getting a little... This is where they get hot and heavy. And just heavy breathing so much. It was really
upsetting.
Just so
much, like, almost about to kiss.
Yeah, and I'm like, just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
An attempt to give the two privacy turns off the bat scanner that's monitoring their every move. With no one monitoring the lovebirds, the Penguin, Joker, Riddler, and their henchmen kidnap Bruce and Mesquita. When Robin switches the scanner back on, he finds, oh no, it's too late to save them.
So Bruce wakes up in the villain's lair wondering what they've done with Miss Kitka, who, of course, has now changed back into Catwoman. And the villains, meanwhile, wonder why Batman hasn't come to save Bruce and Miss Kitka and are frustrated he hasn't fallen into their trap. So Bruce manages to fight off the villains and he escapes.
Bruce reunites with Robin, changes back into Batman, and together they return to the villain's lair. Meanwhile, the villains test out the Dehydrator, turning 5 men into colorful dust.
Yeah, so that was just a test? And all the men were blue dust, whereas some other men turned into different colors.
These guys were all the same.
They were all the same. Five were they were same color dust?
They were all blue dust.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't understand where they got them. And I also didn't understand the
they got the guys?
Yeah.
There's always henchmen around.
They're henchmen.
They were henchmen who got dusted?
And the pirate was just Flair.
That was just Flair because they were on a boat. Because they were on a submarine.
But so... when they were tricking that person.
And penguins are vaguely nautical.
There was that point in the beginning where they're like tricking a man into thinking he's captaining the ship, but it's just a fake screen. And they're, do you know what I'm talking about? They had a screen that looked like water, like the ocean rising and falling.
Yes.
And there's a guy like pushing a bike to like make it go up and down, like flapping some sounds or something. Did I watch something else? That was in there.
That's truly Schmidt Lab.
Okay.
Wait,
you know
what
I'm talking
that?
About.
Commodore Schmidt Lab.
They honestly, put him into that like might a have fake been when I fell asleep.
Thing. It was like right at the beginning.
They
put him into like a fake like area and like made it seem like the water was going up and down, but he's no longer on the ship or something. And I didn't know if the pirate came from his ship and they were just like, you work for us now. I didn't understand where the pirate came from.
The pirate was in the Penguin's employ, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
this is the pirate we see later in the striped shirt?
Yeah, but he gets, like, killed or something.
Yeah, he's got a little earring. It's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Once in the lair, Batman finds a large bomb. This was a cute part. He isn't able to safely detonate it anywhere. First, he runs into a marching band.
Yes.
He's got this big bomb that has, like, a little spark on it. Oh. Then a group of nuns. Then a woman with a baby stroller.
That made me laugh because I was like, that's not heightening.
Yeah. It's all the same, really.
It's
the
like
opposite,
group,
really.
Group. Two people.
Yeah. He ends up throwing it into the air and uses some metal pipes to shield himself from the explosion.
Come on. When he saw the ducks, that got a big laugh out of me.
When he runs through the bar
yeah.
and then Robin's like, he calls them like drunks. He's like deplorable people or something. He says something like, you didn't want to blow up those horrible drunks or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He goes, well, they're still people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, that was funny. That's silly. So then Batman and Robin are confronted by the Penguin, who, by the way, I mean, Penguin, I know the Penguin character gets, when he's Danny DeVito, he's like really disgusting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This really grossed me out, actually. The way that he looked bothered me.
I didn't like
the way
he looked either.
It really bothered me. His nose.
His nose
and,
was very weird.
And his teeth and just the way he was giggling all the time.
They were all the constantly giggling. Those are his own teeth?
Yeah, but the nose is fake. Yeah.
I loved his teeth.
I was surprised at how good the nose looked.
It was good for the time.
Like, I thought I was going to clearly see a line where it was glued on.
No, no, it was a good, it was well done.
Yeah, he's just looked weird
to
me.
He just looked weird.
They all look so weird. I didn't like looking at any of the villains.
Well, I don't know if you have this, Nicole, and I feel like you do because of our experience making this podcast. Do you just like picture yourself having sex with people and then you're like, ew.
All the time.
Like, so like Penguin, I was sort of like, ew.
That one I was like, I don't want him to have sex with me. The Joker, I was like, I think I could.
The Joker?
Yeah.
Okay, I literally was thinking about all of them.
Hold on a second. You guys both have this condition where no matter what you're watching, you're like, what?
If there's something, it started with like the weird things in Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. We had a lot of sexual attractions to really weird things.
Where I was like, ooh, that little alien guy. Like,
we both wanted to have sex with these huge aliens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They were nice.
Look,
they were nice.
This aspect of it, I understand, like having a weird attraction to something, but you're making it sound like now everything you look at, you are cursed to have to do this.
It's sort of like, I'm sort of like, like I'm watching going like, oh, they're so weird. And I go, oh, get them off of me. You know, like they're so weird.
Yeah, I don't want that on top of me. Or you're like, I would ride that. Like, I think I could have sex with Batman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he would have to take the mask
off. He's hot.
He could keep the eye thing on. It's just, I hated those eyebrows.
I didn't like that. Yeah. I agree. Because his eyes also were getting lost back there sometimes. Yes. It wasn't lined up perfectly. That was a little annoying.
You can't win, though, because it's either you have this mask where it's like your face is clearly so far back from the front of the mask, or you have that dumb makeup around your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Robin, I simply couldn't.
He's an attractive billionaire, and I think that works for me. So then... I feel like Jiminy Glick. Then Batman and Robin are confronted by the Penguin, poorly disguised as Commodore Schmidlap, who talks the heroes into taking him into the Batcave.
I don't think his disguise was that bad.
Yeah, if you didn't know who Schmidlap was, sure, he looks like him. There he rehydrates the 5 dehydrated henchmen. However, to do this, he uses water loaded with atomic waste from the Batcave's atomic pile, which makes the henchmen's biological structure highly unstable, and just touching them makes them disappear.
Which is wild.
Yeah. Yes, and the Penguin then hijacks the Batmobile and takes it to meet up with the other villains at the United World Organization, hoping to dehydrate the United World Security Council members and hold the entire world for ransom. And they want $1 billion from every country. I was like, good fucking luck.
Yeah, that's too much money.
It was a lot. You think you're going to get a billion from every country?
Not every country has $1 billion to give.
Four ambassadors, essentially.
Are you really going to get it?
Am I really going to get it?
Are they
going to get it, Paul?
That's a huge ask.
It's a lot of money.
It is a huge ask. It is a lot of money, but they're insane.
Okay.
Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't know what they're capable of.
These people are out of their mind.
They're mad.
Look at them.
Yeah. Yes, they're absolutely mad.
Yeah.
I also want to know what like goes through Joker's mind when he's putting the makeup on.
That's the part, you know, because you're like, you're putting this on every day.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Like, I know.
Yeah.
No,
from movie time, Riddler zips someone's up doing it. But thing. Like, the character, like, why do you put it on like that?
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that we don't know, depending on the iteration of the Joker, if it's makeup that he's putting on his face or if that's just his face.
Wait, what?
Because there is...
Well, the mustache really doesn't help that argument.
Mustache is not helping.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Wait, there's iterations where we just think a man has a clown face?
Well, like Heath Ledger, right? Is that the one where it's kind of like, that's just what he looks like?
No, Heath Ledger put makeup on, but he had scars.
Oh, the scars.
To give him the Joker's rictus-like smile.
Ooh.
But then, like, the Jack Nicholson Joker, which I think is true to the comics. This is like, the comics have been going on for so fucking long that eventually they're like, The Joker doesn't put on makeup. He fell into a vat of chemicals and that, you know,
dyed his hair green.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's he just is a freak who looks that way as opposed to a guy who's like.
Yeah, every day. Yeah. Doing a little theater makeup.
So wait, when did they arrive at the vat decision?
I think that might have happened in the 50s maybe or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In the comics, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. We're going really far back.
Batman and Robin use the Bat Cycle and Bat Cycle go-kart. I'll tell you. I love this. And I love when it separated.
Yeah.
To go to the Batcopter. I really did love all of the Bat things.
They had they had a lot more mobiles than I expected
so
them to have.
So many boats, little Bat Cycles.
They all look cool, too.
Yeah.
They really
look
cool.
I really like that Bat boat. That's a cool boat.
And that cave.
The design of that stuff was really great.
Yeah.
That cave is in LA. Have you been there? There's like
the
Bat Cave.
The Bat Cave.
Bronson Canyon, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
I used to live over there.
Maybe you've been in there.
Maybe. That's where I lived.
Uh-oh, you're Batman? On the first episode, we're revealing this?
From the submarine, the Riddler fires one of his skywriting riddle rockets, which hits the Batcopter and crashes it. Batman and Robin survive, of course, thanks to the Batcopter's soft landing, solve the Riddler's riddle, and run to the United Worlds building. But they arrive too late. The Security Council has already been dehydrated, which is, I just really love that they say dehydrated.
Yeah.
And not like dusted.
Yeah.
It's villains,
just liquid that's gone and they look like that now.
Yeah.
The villains take the vials of dust, gas the building's guards, and escape in the submarine.
I liked the building.
This is where everybody's different colored dust because they're from all over the world.
Ah. Yeah.
So all the Americans are blue.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So in the bat boat, Robin uses the bat radio to divert the missiles being fired at them from the submarine and gets the submarine to come to the surface by firing powerful bat charges. Batman and Robin then beat up the pirates and the villains and throw them overboard, but Batman is heartbroken to discover that Catwoman is actually Miss Kitka.
I will say they took too long on that moment.
Yeah.
And then he was like, "No, Robin, don't say anything." And Robin's like,
"Yeah.
Okay."
Yeah. Batman calls the Coast Guard to come up and collect the villains adrift on the side of the submarine. But before that can happen, the captive Commodore Schmidlap comes in, trips, and breaks the vials of dust.
This part was wild. Because I was like, what did
council,
he trip on?
He mixed them all together. I know, he just goes, falls into it. It was insane. And now they're all one big pile of dust. Mm-hmm.
Back at the Batcave, Batman and Robin use a high-tech filter to try to separate them. The mingled dust.
What a weird problem to have.
Yeah. It's like we got to separate these human beings.
You already dealt with the actual villains, and now you're like separating dust to get these people back?
How is that his job?
Yeah.
I don't know, but he said if he couldn't do it,
it
couldn't be done. No, nobody else could. Robin suggests that they leave the dust from various members of different races mixed together, seemingly to promote world peace, which is funny because it's like, it's their bodies. So it's like, I don't think you're going to mix their ethnicities. What if you get four arms?
Yeah.
You know?
It's not going to work that way.
No. Batman says it's not. It's not up to mortals to make them change the laws of nature. Back at the United Worlds Organization, Batman and Robin rehydrate the Security Council. Also, he's using, like, toxins? Like, water and
toxins?
Yeah, these
people are not going to be the same
when
they get back to their bodies. They're not going to feel right. They're going to be ill.
They're going to be real sick.
They don't know where they live.
They don't know.
No, they're going to be
their brains are going to work right.
Who am I?
Yeah.
So they get rehydrated. People all over the world cheer and celebrate in like the strangest English when they're just like, success, success, we did it. However, they discover that all the Security Council members speak different languages than they used to. Batman says that this mixing of minds may be the single greatest service ever performed for humanity. With the Security Council argues amongst itself, Batman
Which
and Robin...
took a long time.
Very long time.
This is where I was like going, I'm doing my best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm doing my best.
I think it was like the rule of fives back then.
Yeah.
Which is like, we've shown three people speaking languages they don't speak. Better do two more.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, get a little
bit more. And
it
should take 5 minutes and feel like 5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then instead of Batman and Robin leaving through a door, they open, you watch them open a window.
That's right.
You throw something, and then broke down. And then climb down the side of the building. And I was like, for what?
It's really unnecessary. Because they also like ran to their, to get there. Where it's like, you go on the street. Yeah. You just walk down, go down the elevator.
Just go down
like,
the elevator. What's going on?
They wanted to leave unobtrusively. Yeah. This is them Irish goodbying.
They're like, just, we don't want anyone to deal with us.
We don't want anyone to say thank you. We gotta go. It was so hard to rehydrate all these people.
So the title card ends with a question mark suggesting there's more story to be told, which I'm sure there is. And that was the movie.
That was it.
Oh my God.
We did it.
We did. And it was long.
It was very long. 1 hour and 44 minutes.
Look, it was cute. I feel like ultimately
that to me, but that to me is like a movie length. That's not that crazy.
but for what it is,
movies now are all fucking 5 hours.
You're
long.
Right. That's true. You're absolutely right.
No, we're gonna complain more. Don't worry.
Here's the thing. I can watch a long movie as long as it's like Fast and the Furious, and I'm sure. entertained every moment of the
See, I missed that whole season of our podcast doing that, so I didn't watch those movies except for one, and I don't think I could have handled it. I mean, that's like, that's a
It is a little intense. Yeah. I will say Fast X has one of the best performances I've ever seen by Jason Momoa.
Wow. Okay.
He wears gauchos, and I've never
he's a beautiful
found
man.
Someone hotter. Oh, my God.
So we have a new segment.
No Wayne.
No Wayne. We're gonna read some trivia from the film, okay?
And are you ready?
And you tell me what you know versus what we know.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do one trivia from you first.
Yeah.
All right. I think I was gonna lead with that he put the makeup on over his mustache.
Okay, well, we knew that.
Okay, that is a part of our trivia. Caesar.
Yes.
Cesar. How do I say it?
Well, it was spelled phonetically for me as Cesar.
Yes, that's why I asked.
So yeah.
But is it Cesar?
I've always heard it Caesar Romero, but...
Well, so anyone who thought I was weird for saying it that way, don't blame me.
It was phonetic.
I looked on YouTube. I couldn't really find anyone introducing him.
I'm sure you're right. I'm sure you did it great.
I do love that. He's like, I'll do it, but I'm not changing my life.
He's like, my wife likes the mustache. If I shave this, my kids won't recognize me. Oh my God. My dad one time shaved his mustache and it was shocking. We all were like, never again. Like, it was like so crazy. Do you ever shave yours? Have I seen you without a mustache?
I don't think I've ever seen you without a mustache.
I'm no Cesar Romero, so I can't get away with not shaving it if I get a job. But I've had to shave it a couple times for jobs.
Do you have pictures?
But not often.
Do you feel weird? Because I remember your old stand-up, though, you didn't have a mustache. Yeah. But
I
didn't have
a
mustache until 2009 was when I grew this mustache.
Oh, and so did that feel like a big change at the time? You were like, now I'm doing this.
It did, but like when I saw it, because I had a beard and then I shaved away the beard and I left the mustache, and then it just looked different to me all of a sudden. I was like, this makes sense on
my face. It's kind of crazy how men can just do that, though, and like you just have a whole different look.
Yeah.
Like our friend Don Finelli had a mustache for a minute and it looked awesome. I was like, I see how it starts. Do you know what I mean? Like, where it's like, now you're the dad with the mustache. Yeah, I'm like, it's cool. It looks awesome.
I had a friend who had a full beard, went to an audition. They said, can you shave? Came back shaved. And they said, oh, no.
Well, yeah, because sometimes they don't like what's under there.
No.
I've witnessed that, where people are then like, but the beard's kind of doing a lot.
The beard is doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah. It makes the face what it is.
And it made this person's face. It was pretty wild.
Permanent beard people should have just a picture of themselves.
Yeah. To be like, this is what
my God. No, but you're totally right. Because it's like, if you don't waste my time. I have to grow this beard back now.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, come on. Like,
I don't have time to grow a full beard back.
Yeah. It's going to take months. I mean, how long does it take to grow a big bushy beard? I don't even know.
Probably a month.
Longer.
Two?
Right?
How long?
For a big beard like that?
A big bushy beard.
Oh, that was like a year.
Yeah. That's like a full head of hair coming out of your chin.
Yeah. To grow, like to actually grow it to where it's long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, that takes a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
I get little whiskers and they come overnight.
Yeah, same. I'm always like, huh?
But what if you let them go?
I could never.
Oh, it would be so upsetting.
No. Have you ever had it, though, where you think you've taken care of the situation, that you're in the sun, and you're like...
Yes, and you're like, okay.
There's one.
Or you, like, touch your face, and you're like, oh, no, I really hope.
I'm going to need to go home
now. I need to go.
Okay, so here's a little bit of trivia. So Batman premiered at the Paramount Theater in Austin, Texas. The Batboat featured in the film was created by Austin-based company Glastron. Their payment was having the film premiere in their hometown.
Seems like a bad deal.
That's not a good payment.
That's a bad deal.
You get to see it here first. Who cares?
But if you're the producers of the movie, you're like, okay.
Yeah, no that's problem. Not paying my mortgage. But yeah. I guess at the time my mortgage was $5. So it's kind of okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is interesting. Filming of the movie began before Lee Merriweather was cast, so Catwoman does not appear with the other villains in the first scene aboard the Penguin submarine.
Oh.
Interesting.
Now, did you feel during the film there were many times where she'd go, that's perfect, and I thought, yeah. He's going to figure it out. She's saying,
well, I mean, she thought was so Kita. Too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
Kitty,
yeah, yeah.
Kita?
Yeah.
I thought he would be like, perfect.
Perfect.
Who does that
no,
remind
he was too horned up by her.
I know. And then, like, when they, like, he's like, let's rub our backs together and get these ropes off or whatever. When they're all both.
That was wild.
I was like, yeah, rub your backs together. That'll do it. Okay, so this film was.
Wait,
released.
I need to know. So Eartha Kitt was in the TV
yeah,
show.
Yeah, so why wasn't yeah. she
why
in the
didn't
movie?
Eartha,
and why wasn't she cast? Maybe she was doing another film.
Maybe she was, and that's why.
Yeah. Do you know the scoop?
I do not know the scoop.
Let's find
they
out.
They could not hold on to a Catwoman on that
yeah.
show.
Yeah,
I guess not.
Yeah.
I think she was probably in later seasons, because I think the first season
so maybe
was
they
that
didn't
other
have
Julie Newmar.
Oh, okay. Thanks for everything.
Okay, but
and
where
she
was
had
Julie?
Another movie.
Oh, okay, so Julie Newmar was booked.
Oh, interesting. And then Lee Merriweather was never invited back?
I don't believe so.
Wow, that must hurt.
One and done.
But she was so pretty.
She was
so
Audrey pretty.
Hepburn. So this film was released between seasons 1 and 2 of the Batman TV series. Okay,
between seasons 1 and 2.
That's pretty wild.
Wow, they really jumped right into that.
Yeah,
a follow-up film was at one point considered between seasons 2 and 3, which would have been used to introduce Barbara Gordon / Batgirl,
right.
And make use of the Batplane. However, due to waning interest in the series during season 2,
damn.
Which resulted in budget cuts, plans for a second film were scrapped. That's like nowadays.
Yeah.
They're really over it really fast. I felt like TV shows ran longer then.
I honestly thought this show ran longer than that, for
that
sure.
That feels like
I'm
them just going,
surprised.
Let's move on.
How
one
long did
fine.
It run?
I think the show ran longer, but the movie, they didn't make more movies.
Right.
But there was waning interest.
They didn't have enough interest. Like, we still watch the show, but.
But we're not fucking
we
leaving our homes to watch longer
like
show.
Going to Austin, Texas to watch a movie.
But, like, you can assume most of America was watching it because there's like 2 channels.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Awards and reception. This Batman earned $1.7 million in the North American box office sales, which is just over. Which is just over its $1.4 million budget.
Wow.
Which would be about $13 million now.
Damn.
Wow. William, let's see if I get this. Doze, hey.
Dozier?
Oh.
D-O-Z-I-E-R?
Yes. But this is how it's spelled phonetically.
Dozier.
Wow, everyone got it but me. Creator of the Batman TV series said in a 1968 interview that the reason for the low box office numbers was that they were trying to sell something that was already free.
Again, a problem
to the public
having.
At home. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Meaning the Batman TV series that was out there airing at the same time.
That's
that
so
is
interesting.
But it makes sense.
Yeah,
it's like
streaming is easier than going to the theater. It's kind of the mm-hmm. same thing. This is wild that the...
Wow. And then they fixed it and then went back to this.
Yeah, yeah.
It is funny in that landscape to propose that because there are only 3 channels, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The show's on TV and they're like, hey, we made a movie. No one asked us to do
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we want you to go pay money to go see it in the theater.
Yeah.
I'm sure at the time people are like, are you insane?
You're right, because it's also just like a basic story. I guess like it's cute, but
yeah.
it's like if the TV show is just like that, then
yeah.
yeah, it's not like the production value in the movie
yeah.
is way
better.
Above.
No,
the
it
TV
feels
show.
Like TV.
100%.
Okay, it currently holds an 81% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Congrats.
And a 62% audience score. Of course, only one of the critic reviews on Rotten Tomatoes that makes up the score is from the year of the movie's release. So yeah, it was only reviewed by one man, we can assume.
Probably a
yeah.
man. A Batman? Let's take a break.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
We're back. We're going to do a really fun new segment. Okay, so we have these little QR codes here, and we just scan them on our phones, and it shows us a little quiz or a little rating scale about this Batman. And we're going to rate each Batman in every episode. And then, you know, over time, we'll start to figure out who our favorite Batman is. So in this new segment, we're going to rate Adam West on the definitive newcomer's Batman scale. So we're going to rank preparedness. How prepared is this Batman? Does he get to use his little gadgets and tools? Detective ability. Does this Batman get to be a little detective? Is he good at solving mysteries?
Does he get to be a little detective?
Voice graveliness. How gravelly is this Batman's voice? Sadness. How lonely, brooding, or emo is this Batman? And finally, hotness. How hot is this Batman? Okay, so we're going to take a moment here and make our little votes.
I'm sorry that I have my sunglasses on, but they're a prescription, and it's the only way I can read.
That's okay. Don't ever apologize for looking cool.
I don't want people to think that I'm trying too hard.
I don't think so.
Please wait for the presenter to show the next slide.
But it's the slide.
Oh, okay. So it combines all of our scores. Mm-hmm. So we have Adam West's Batman preparedness level is a 98.3. He's extremely prepared. I mean, he has everything labeled prepared. Bat blank.
Absolutely. Yes.
Every single thing in his Batcave was labeled.
He's organized.
He's organized. Very he knows organized. What he needs when he needs it.
He knows where his stuff is.
Detective ability was an 89.3. I mean, yeah, I thought he was solving
he
things
solved
really
things
quickly.
Very quick.
But there were some things where I was like, how does he not know that's Catwoman?
That to me was the only thing where, like, everything else he figured out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Voice graveliness, we gave him a 6.3%. It wasn't gravelly.
I think it was smooth and low.
It was pretty smooth like butter. Yeah. It was just smooth.
I thought it was like margarine.
Yeah. His sadness scale was a 7. I mean, he didn't really seem sad.
It was just when he realized that he couldn't fuck Catwoman.
Yeah.
He got sad, but he wasn't sad.
That was a temporary feeling.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. His hotness is a 60.7%. I think that's...
Who brought it down?
I put it at 50%.
Oh. I did too.
Where'd you get it?
I gave him 80%.
Aww.
I liked him when he was out of his bad attire.
Yeah.
I felt like he was attractive. I just was kind of going like, you know, thinking if I met him right now, it's like, you know, I'm just kind of...
If Batman walked in here right now, the 1966 Batman.
Would I be interested? Maybe not. I don't know. But
I should have rated him in the suit. Because like in the bat suit, that brings it down for me. But I was like... As Bruce Wayne, I guess, yeah, I should have thought of him as Batman.
None of them are really hot in the bat suit, right? Because it's such an obscuring thing. And it's
I will say.
Sometimes when they have six packs, it's cool.
But then it's a molded thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who's Batman now? I already forgot. Who's the last Batman?
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, he's hot.
The one you love.
Yeah, he's really hot in the bat suit. Also, He does have bat wings at one time, and that made me laugh. I don't know. Maybe none of them are hot.
He has wings?
It was weird.
I'll have to wait.
And I was the only one in the theater who laughed.
Yeah, maybe it's I liked not it funny.
For the wrong reasons.
But that doesn't matter. You still had a good time. Okay, five kapows. It's time kapow for reviews. Newcomers, listener reviews. Now, these are reviews of us.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
We love to hear compliments.
We got 5 stars from Blue Phlox. Yes, more newcomers. So excited to hear y'all coming back to do Batman. Can't wait to hear Nicole and Lauren confuse all the Batmans together. What a treat. What a dream. 3 hearts. I love you.
Yes, I love that. And in addition to doing Apple reviews and newcomers, we'll also be reading reviews from Letterboxd. And then we're going to give each film a 1-sentence review ourselves and a star rating. And if you don't know what Letterboxd is, Paul, do you know what Letterboxd is?
I do know what Letterboxd is.
Great. I'm not going to explain it.
Well, what if someone doesn't know?
Okay. It's a social platform where you can write reviews of films. And you can follow the show on Letterboxd at Newcomers.
Are either of you on Letterboxd?
No. Absolutely not.
But I guess we are as a show.
Yes, as a show.
I feel like I would like to do it, but when I think about sitting down and writing a thing,
no, yeah, it's just too much work.
It's too much work. Go on vacation.
Yeah, just go on vacation instead.
Yeah.
Do you do Yelp?
No.
Yeah, I've done Yelp a few times, but usually only to help someone where they're like, oh, if you liked this, give me 5 stars. I'm like, great, and I'll go write a thing.
But no. I won't.
Noted.
I don't have the time.
Yeah.
Noted.
But you know I'll read a review on Yelp.
Absolutely. Well, I use Yelp all the time, of course. But, you know. Okay, so Letterboxd is where these will exist. We will read some from other people first, and then we'll give our own. So, Paul, think about what you want to rate the movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is from Emma Stefanski. Reject modernity. Riddler in a gimp mask and normal clothes. Embrace tradition. Riddler in a lime green 3-piece suit with question marks all over it. Okay, what?
You'll find out.
Okay.
Reject. What?
You'll find out.
Okay.
You'll find out. Remember these words, though. Remember these words.
I will not remember these
mask?
Words.
Because they will come back
I will
to
not
you.
Remember these words.
Okay.
Oh, you think you won't. You think you won't. You'll see.
All right. Well, this is from Branson Reese.
I know him.
I do, too.
Yeah.
What?
Well, coincidentally, one of the hosts of Rude Tales of Magic, a HeadGum Dungeons & Dragons show, reviewed this movie in 2005.
Thank you, Branson.
This is the only Batman movie that makes Branson. Any goddamn sense.
Wow.
Hot take.
Wow.
Hot take.
I love it. Okay. I love that. So, who wants to go first? I'll do it. I don't care.
Okay.
So my
what's
one,
the rating system? Sorry.
It's 5 stars.
5 stars.
So
4 stars.
The 1-sentence review.
2 stars. 1 star.
And what does each one of those mean?
1 star means nah. 2 stars means meh. 3 stars means okay. 4 stars means hoo woo. 5 stars means I love it.
Okay.
Hoo woo is lower than I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like hoo woo no, like, I don't even have words anymore to tell how much
like
I love this,
this
thing.
It's a soft. It's a soft one.
Like a
it's like it's pretty good. It's like pretty good.
Can they hear me?
I liked. My 1-sentence review is kitschy, campy, 60s fun. Bat universe origins.
Is this a haiku?
Yeah. It's really long, and very cute and fun, enjoyable romp for all. My star rating is, I give it, look, here's where I always get tripped up by star ratings. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about this because I know I'm going to be rating everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I say something is too high, it's like, if I say it's too high, mm-hmm. I'm like, well, of course I want to like the 90s one better than this probably. You know, it's like, so, well, we don't know, but I'm just saying I probably will, but I guess I'm supposed to rate it in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'd give it. In a vacuum, I'd give it 4 stars because I think it's actually okay. Like really fun for the time and fun for what it is. And I enjoyed myself. So okay. There we go.
I'm going to give it 2 stars. I walked in giving it no stars. But then I talked about it and I was like, actually, wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm. That there happens were some to us stuff. A lot. With
happens
this
to me
show
all the time.
Because we always are like, when we talk it through, we're like, that was cool. Yeah.
And also, I'm watching these alone with my dog who's just staring at me.
Right.
I'm like, I have to watch this, Clyde.
Yeah.
And then I don't have anyone to like be like, that was dumb, right?
Right.
You know? Does he ever watch the movie with you?
Barely.
Do you ever look at the screen?
Barely.
He's just looking at you the whole time.
Sometime. Well, last night he looked at me the whole time because I just got back from vacation and sat in front of the TV and
right.
He was like, what is this?
Yeah.
You're not going to play with me? He's not like,
so
one
you just
time?
Leave me and then leave, you just and come then you, and sit
you're
here?
Very, very, what is it, neglectful?
Yeah.
Okay, my one sentence review is, yuck, not really.
I love it. Oh, mine was supposed to be one sentence. That's where I got fucked up.
Yeah.
It went on
it's
way too
okay,
long.
I liked
okay.
it.
Okay, fine.
Those are commas.
Yeah, it was.
No periods.
It was commas, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's definitely not a sentence.
You're right.
If that helps.
You're right. There was no...
It's not that it was too many sentences.
Yeah. There were no parts of a sentence involved. You're right. You're right. None of it made sense. It was just words.
Wait, and how many stars? It. Oh, two.
Two. Okay.
Two solid, I think.
I'm going to give this 4 stars.
Ooh. Nice.
And I'm going to say my one sentence review is, forget all the darkness. Yeah. Come into the light.
That's really what it is.
I like that.
It's just a silly good time.
Yeah.
And we do get so much darker with Batman later. Mm-hmm. It's all black
dressed
and like,
up yeah.
You can't you can barely see.
You are right. It's a man dressed up as a bat.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is wild to see like where it started to where it's ended.
Yeah.
And we can all thank that Oppenheimer man. Who's
yeah.
that?
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, right. Because he did them?
Yes.
He made them dark and gritty?
Yeah, he made them, yes. There was around the time of the Tim Burton movies, the comic books got a little dark. That's when the Dark Knight Rises had come out, I think, the Frank Miller thing that was like a Batman who it takes place in the future where he's retired and he's gotten out of the crime fighting game and then he gets back into it because the world is crazy or whatever. And so that sort of, that was the first super dark iteration of Batman. Although, it starts out in the 30s where he's like, I want to terrify criminals, so I'm going to dress up as a big bat and scare them.
Oh.
Which works in a drawing.
Yeah.
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 But also, it's pretty funny that he thinks that outfit is going to terrify
anybody.
It's
not scary at all in the Adam
West. I know. That's the thing, is that, you know, by the time they got to this, it's like, it's a comic book. You know
but are
I mean?
They, mm-hmm. are, is that supposed to be funny how it's like not scary, how he has it?
Oh, yeah. By this point, the emphasis is not on Batman as like a terrifying figure of the night.
Yeah.
You know, he's like the shit is goofy.
He's a rich guy who's mm-hmm. bored.
Yeah. Like when you see there's iterations of the Batcave where he has all these treasures from his different, not treasures, but keepsakes from different cases that he's worked. And like, there's a big giant penny and there's like a statue of a dinosaur. It's mm-hmm. like, it was silly. Like, you got into silly shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your life is silly, Batman.
Yeah.
And everything you've done is lame.
Like, they never mentioned that his parents got murdered in the.
No, they're not going dark with that.
When does that get mentioned? In what movie? Do you know?
Well, don't spoil it.
Oh, just kidding. Don't tell me.
You're going to see very soon.
Yes.
You're gonna see very soon. There's so much I want to say to you guys, but I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want to taint your experiences of the movies that are coming.
Yeah.
But I am, honestly, I'm very interested in seeing what you like and what you don't like because I don't think I can predict it.
Yeah, I don't think I can either because when I had to watch this one, I went, oh, no. And then I was like, I'm having fun. So, you know, you never know. But then I look forward to other ones that I might not like.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'll never forget. Scott Aukerman was like, you're going to love Infinity War. You'll be really impressed with the Star Wars. No, with the Marvel shit. He was right.
Yeah.
And I still really love The Blip.
The Blip was amazing.
The Blip is great.
The Blip was a really exciting part of everything. And, you know.
I love that Blip.
The Blip changed lives. So.
Although I did try to watch Guardians of the Galaxy, the third one.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have to watch that?
No, because it just came out. But okay. I've turned in my Marvel card. I'm done.
You're done watching them now.
I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I thought I liked them. I thought I was like on board.
We were
after
indoctrinated
doing it.
By the podcast. Like, we're going like, we like them because we're watching so many. And then, like, life goes back and you're like, I don't watch this.
Yeah.
It
was really wild. I was
watch.
Like on a plane. I was like, this is, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. All right. Well, I encourage everyone out there to please write us a review on Apple Podcasts of our podcast, please. And we will pick one. Every week to read on the episode. So
every week?
Yes.
Every single week for 14 weeks.
You can't do that.
It can
happen.
You'll never be able to do it.
If 14 people do it, we can.
Yeah, we just need 14 people.
Good luck.
Yeah. We'll see. And
that's
please
just 2 weeks of people.
Rate it on Spotify, which takes 0.2 seconds. You literally just press the stars 14. And move
on. I had to do the math.
Oh, check out.
And of course, listen to Threedom and Neighborhood Listen. Any other podcasts you have out there in the world now?
Stay of Homekins.
Stay of Homekins.
That
I listen to every month.
Yeah.
Nice.
And you have a Substack and a Patreon.
We have a Substack where we do extra stuff. We did a recap series of And Just Like That.
It's so funny.
Season 2.
I have a whole ritual where I will watch And Just Like That, Then I immediately listen to your recap. Then I listen to the official podcast of the show where they talk, the writers talk about it, because I like to hear all the different perspectives. And I can't get enough, so it's just great.
Yeah, yeah. It's really fun. We watch it, and then we immediately start recording.
It's really good.
Very funny. Yeah, I like really that. Fun. That show is bad.
I love it.
If they put out an episode every single day, I would watch it.
If they put out an episode every day for the rest of my life,
I would watch it.
That's what I want. I want it every day. Every day the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. I want to see what happens in their lives forever.
I went on vacation, so I'm two episodes back, and I cannot wait to get caught
and
up.
And the Aiden stuff is so good.
Oh my God.
Okay, so
they're
obviously
so in love so quickly. And the way they wrote Aiden, I was like, someone in the room is an original writer. He's like, what up, Buttercup? And I'm like,
I know. He's so him. I love him. I'm obsessed. Okay, so we're going to be back. Of course, that lit us up like a fire, but we're going to be back next week with the 1989 Batman.
Yeah.
So we will see you then. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
And we're so excited. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Newcomers is a production of HeadGum Studios. Our producer is Ali Khan. Our executive producer is Anya Konevskaya. The show is edited, mixed, and mastered by Ferris Monchi, who also composed our theme song. Follow us on Letterboxd at Newcomers and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We might just read it on the next show. Na 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 bye!
That was a HeadGum original.